The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the setting suns. The NBA's best are on the ropes. Can they rise from the ashes in Phoenix? Meanwhile, will Brooklyn be bounced tonight? How do players this good put together something this historically horrible? We've got all the answers. And then the week is finally here. The deals are on the table. Where are these two stars headed before the draft begins on Thursday? We'll answer those and all your other questions as we get up with you, starting right now on a Monday. Delighted you were there. Delighted he is here. Legler is ready to go, and so is this squad we have put together. Windy is delaying the beignets this morning in New Orleans to do 2 hours of TV with us. RG3, Jeff Darlington, Dan Orlovsky. The draft week is here. We'll get to all of that. But we begin, Legler, with the surprise of the night. Chris Paul strolling into the arena last night in New Orleans, looking to take a commanding 3-1 series lead and looking to do it without Devin Booker. But Brandon Ingram had other ideas.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it's an elite-level scorer. And right now, this team has been given some confidence without Devin Booker. They don't think they can just give him a good series. They think they can win it, and that's the way they played last night.
Third quarter, look at this. Herbert Jones just shoving Chris Paul to the ground. That would be a sign of things to come. These young Pelicans are not backing down from anything. And Brandon Ingram is the best of them all. He had 30.
Yeah, you get there late, you get your feelings hurt with Brandon Ingram. And he gets to that launch pad area, 6'11", the way he handles the basketball, takes off, emphatic finish.
Meanwhile, Chris Paul had been brilliant in this series, but look at the way Jose Alvarado is all over him.
Man, oh man, oh man. This is why I'm glad I'm retired. Have to bring the ball up against somebody like this. That's what Chris Paul should have stolen ahead to the two guard. Let him handle the basketball. Alvarado quickly becoming a crowd favorite.
And then there's Jones with a steal on the inbound pass. And Paul called for a flagrant on the play. Paul just 4 points and 3 turnovers on the game. He's frustrated.
I mean, this is next level quickness right here. Alvarado comes around his left side and takes the ball out of his right hand. And again, creating havoc in the backcourt, their defense turning it up, not just see Devin Booker. A little bit dejected, frustrated he can't be out there to help.
The Suns were by far the best team in the NBA this year, but they find themselves in a flat-footed tie after 4 games of this postseason. Brian Windhorst, you were there in the arena to cover it last night. There's only one way I can ask this question. Are the Suns in a little trouble?
Yeah, they're in some trouble because even though Devin Booker has improved, he's definitely moving around better. There's still no timetable for his return, and an ask for him to come back for tomorrow's Game 5 is a really tall task, and the Suns have struggled dramatically offensively, especially shooting the three ball since the 2 games he's missed. And even last night, the Pelicans completely switched their defensive strategy on Chris Paul, leading with Alvarado, who is absolutely adored here in New Orleans. After 19 points in Game 3 fourth quarter last night, 0 points in the fourth quarter.
For Chris Paul, and they sure what do we say about this, Legs? We don't know exactly when they're going to get Booker back. They've been so good all year. We sort of said, okay, well, no problem. They'll beat New Orleans, and then we'll see what happens. Well, not so fast.
Yeah, and if the problem with the Suns is without Booker, you know, Chris Paul's the only real offense creator on that team. Everybody else sort of stays in their lane. Yeah, you know, you can throw it into Ayton, and he can get a quality shot for himself. Bridges and Crowder are more spot-up guys or slashers. The guys that create offense are Chris Paul and Devin Booker. So now you've lost one of your main guys, and now Chris Paul, I think, is going to get worn down as this series goes on, the way that they're starting to play him. If you recall the finals a year ago, Chris Paul had his way early. What happened? Jrue Holiday started picking him up 94 feet. When you have a guard this age and you start to get picked up full court every single possession, it is going to start to wear on you and grind on you. And that's the concern I have right now. You started to see it a little bit last night. Look, Suns have 2 out of 3 at home. They're still the number one seed for a reason. It's not just Devin Booker. They're a great defensive team. They've got great role definition on this team. But right now, there's no doubt, New Orleans is sensing that they can win this series. Phoenix has an absolute fight on their hands.
This is not a conversation the Suns were expecting us to be having in April. That is for sure. So there's only been no sweeps so far in the NBA playoff first round, but that could change tonight. And that brings us to the biggest story in the sport by far, and that is the Nets on the brink of elimination after being stifled by the Celtics, particularly Kevin Durant in game three. According to our advanced analytics, KD took his fewest dribbles per touch in a game since November, only took one shot in the fourth quarter, and Kyrie Irving was no better. 0 for 7 from three, tied for the most attempts without a make in his career. He made just a one shot in the fourth quarter for the second straight game, and then adding injury to insult. Ward's reporting that Ben Simmons has been ruled out for game four. News that was met with surprise and disappointment in Brooklyn. And that says nothing about the reaction of our Stephen A. Smith.
The fact of the matter is that there's always an excuse. And in the end, what it comes down to is the Brooklyn Nets are not better because of him. The Philadelphia 76ers were not better because of him. The LSU Tigers in college were not better than him. Who's he going to quit on next? And then on top of it all, you file a grievance to get $20 million of your money back, knowing you didn't play one damn second. This is a travesty. And when a collective bargaining agreement comes into play, when the negotiations rather come into play, and the owners are sitting across the table from these players, they're going to have a pay-for-play stipulation in that contract if they can pull it off. And you know what it's going to be named? It's going to be named the Ben Simmons rule. You're going to have a separate rule for Kyrie Irving. You're going to have a separate rule for Ben Simmons. And they will deserve it. Because at some point in time, you are hurting the product when you don't want to show up and play. I'm done with this. I'm done with all of these rationales for Ben Simmons. It's sickening.
He literally walked off after that. He was so aggravated. We were here all weekend. And look, so we just talked about the Suns. And they had this unbelievable season, and now we're saying, I can't believe we've gotten to this point. Well, the Nets had the most drama-filled, ridiculous season that we've ever seen a team have, but we thought they'll put it together when it matters because they'll care. Here they are, and nothing could be further from the case. I'll go to you first on the Simmons of it all. But clearly, there is surprise. Woj used the word surprised and disappointed legs. What is your reaction to the Ben Simmons not playing tonight situation?
I'm neither of those things. I'm not surprised. I didn't expect to see the guy all year. Okay, now look, at some point, if they come back miraculously and win this series, at some point Ben Simmons got to play in the postseason because it sounds like he was on the precipice of playing. So at some point, he's going to have to take the court. But I think the best thing in his best interest and the Nets is get to the summer, hit the reset button, get your mind right on playing basketball and wanting to be a part of this, and then come back with a fresh start at the beginning of next year. Because what I see right now is a guy that has completely lost credibility. He's lost credibility not only with his teammates and with the organization, he's lost credibility league-wide and anybody that follows the NBA. That's what he has become. He's the butt of jokes. He is a guy now that we're more interested in what this guy is wearing on the bench, and he's trying to make a spectacle of himself sitting up by the coaches wearing that outfit that he wore the other night. If I'm Ben Simmons right now, I'm doing everything I can to stay out of the picture until I am ready to play. Do not bring any attention to yourself right now until you're ready to help your teammates on the court. But for me, this is a credibility issue. And right now, I look at that team, and I just, even watching his interactions with his teammates, it just looks awkward. Like, these guys are rolling their eyes like, come on, man, I really don't want to hear from you because you're not here trying to help us. And I think that, to me, is the bottom line. Does he love basketball enough to want to come out and play? And right now, I don't think he does. So he's got to get to me to an offseason, get himself right, physically, mentally ready to come back and act like he loves this game and try to help his team. Because right now, I'm not disappointed or surprised. I didn't expect this guy to play.
That's well said. But the reality is that reset button was, I thought, was supposed to be when he got out of Philadelphia. That's when it was going to hit the reset button and get to Brooklyn. And here we are months later, and he still hasn't played. Get me Wendy back here. What do you think of this, Brian Windhorst, as you follow this and talk to people around the league? What are they saying?
Greeny, when I checked in on this yesterday, basically what I got was exasperation. The people involved here are exasperated by this saga because that is what it is. And they just, I got the feeling yesterday it was like waving a white flag. I know that this might have the appearance of Ben Simmons saying, I don't want to play, we're down 3-0. But he woke up yesterday with his back hurting. That is what I have been told. And it's just as simple as that. He just didn't feel comfortable going and playing for the first time in 11 months with the way his back felt. That's the bottom line. It's extraordinarily disappointing because he had, I would say, genuine optimism for at least a week he was going to play in this game. He wasn't even ruling himself out for game three on Friday or Saturday, whatever it was. And so the Nets were expecting to get this. He was expecting to play. It was another kneecapping moment for what's been a season of kneecapping moments for Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the floor Saturday night. We did the show from there, and I watched every second that he was out there in the pregame. And look, he's moving fine. He doesn't shoot. He doesn't attempt, even in warm-ups. He's not throwing the ball in the direction of the basket, but he was throwing passes and moving around. He looked fine, but look, it is what it is. In the meantime, that was not their problem on Saturday night. Their problem was that whoever it is that has stolen Kevin Durant, please return him because his team is being humiliated. A player of his historical greatness to be completely silenced the way he has in this series. He has 19 made field goals and 17 turnovers in three games in this series. Legs, how do you put into perspective what has happened to him?
First two games, I saw a guy that was being hit with a lot of traps, blitzes. He was getting hit from his blind side. He was getting physically mauled a little bit, and I thought that affected him. Game three was a different story. I saw a guy that was completely indecisive. And I haven't seen Kevin Durant look like that since his rookie year. It looks to me like now he is anticipating where the next defender is coming from before he even processes what's in front of him. Kevin Durant right now can make this game very simple. Let's get back to being a raw scorer. Forget playmaking right now. Put that on Kyrie Irving. Right now, Kevin Durant needs to get himself going as a bucket getter. He needs to show his team that he is operating in a good place. I know playing with star players over the years as a role player, when your best players are operating at a high level and they're getting their thing done, you can then relax, stay in your lane, and do what you do. Kevin Durant needs to set the tone early in the game. Go quicker when you catch it. Don't think about where the next defender is coming from. Attack gap seams, get to the line. Use Boston's physicality against them early in the game to get yourself to the line, get your team in the bonus, and more importantly, put your mind in a place where it's all about full throttle, foot on the gas, aggressiveness. He was so tentative with everything that he did in game three. It was shocking to see a player of his level look that way, that unsure of himself. I think Kevin Durant knows it. One thing about him, he's owning all of this after every game. I do think he's got a game in him here where he's going to come out and be special, but he's got to put everything to the side other than attack when I get the basketball immediately and don't wait on all these bodies sometimes that aren't even there. I think he's seeing ghosts a little bit on that court.
Well, if that game isn't tonight, then it's not going to be until the fall. So we'll see what happens. Wendy, your perspective on KD so far?
Three things real quick. Number one, the Celtics are playing some of the greatest defense I've ever seen in my 20 years covering the NBA. I've never seen a scheme with personnel on a player like Durant. It's totally, totally taking him out of his game. Secondly, I just think he's tired. You go back and look at the last couple of weeks of the regular season, he had to play 42, 43 minutes night after night after night just to get him into this. And some of his mistakes I see as fatigue mistakes. And third, and I know this is difficult for the Nets to understand or to grasp, they're just not that good of a team. Their record with Kyrie and Durant this year is 10-9. It's partially because of the way they play together. It's partially because of the players that are around them. It's partially because of injuries. They're just an average team. They're an average team playing an awesome team and getting throttled. That is what is happening. That's it. That's all.
And they could be put away tonight. Guys, stay close by. Much more NBA as we continue this morning. In the meantime, oh, by the way, the NFL draft is 3 days away. Let me get Darlington in here because we got big stories to deal in. Let's start with this, Jeff. Which team do we believe is looking to trade up this week?
Greeny, when I talk to people around the league, they are targeting the Chiefs as the potential trade suitor of this draft. It is a team with two picks in each of the first four rounds. They have tons of ammunition, tied with the Jaguars for the most pick in this draft, and a roster that's deep enough that they don't necessarily need all the players that they are capable of drafting. So this is certainly a scenario where teams say, if we got to trade for somebody, that will be the team we call.
And then how about Baker Mayfield? Will he be traded by the end of the draft?
Look, they still have to come down in price if the Browns want to be able to unload Baker Mayfield, not only when it comes to draft capital, but also when it comes to the amount of salary that they're willing to pick up. This is a player that is guaranteed $19 million this coming season. So if the Browns are going to unload him before the draft, teams are going to have to find a way to get convince them to come down in price.
And then how about that guy, Deebo Samuel?
Deebo Samuel remains very firm in the ground when it comes to his desire to be traded away from the 49ers. The 49ers still reluctant to trade him away because they feel like the player that they get out of Deebo Samuel doesn't match the potential compensation that they can get in a trade. But nonetheless, we've got 4 days. We've got urgency. It's going to be up to the 49ers to decide if they're going to trade him and find that suitor to pull the trigger on it.
Well, I want to make sure everyone saw, he sort of commented on this over the weekend. I don't know that we could necessarily call it exactly that, but let's show you the video from the club over the weekend if we can. So there it is. He's in a place and there's a sign that says Deebo is staying put, and there's Deebo and he's saying, no, I'm not. So that's right. That is him basically telling the world, I'm out of here. Dan Orlovsky, as we sit and watch all this, this is a guy that the entire NFL world fell in love with this season. He had an unbelievable year for a team that surprised many by making it to the NFC Championship game. Where do we sit on Deebo Samuel 3 days before the draft?
Well, you got to figure out why he wants out of San Francisco. You know, is he a kid from the East Coast that doesn't like living in California? Does he have concerns about, you know, them moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo and having to play with Trey Lance? Or, since some of the reports that we've heard are that he doesn't like the way the 49ers have used him and when it comes to his role, and he doesn't want to be a part of that anymore. And this is what I would say to that. What makes him different makes him great. And if that's the case, and you are a team that is interested in acquiring Deebo Samuel, that lessens his value to you. So if you're a team like the Green Bay Packers that should be interested, if he's not going to be used the way in the screen game or the run game like San Francisco did, that lessens his value. The New York Jets, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Baltimore Ravens. And so if he's not going to be on board with you being able to use him as a weapon like that, I think it lessens the value and the impact that he can give your football team.
So RG3, that does raise an interesting question. One of the things about Deebo that we all fell in love with was that he seemed to be willing to do anything to help the team. And look how effective he was. He was their best runner in addition to being their best receiver. If he doesn't want to do that, we don't know for certain that's the case, but there have been those reports. If so, then what exactly are you getting if you trade for Deebo, RG3?
Yeah, Greeny, I mean, you're getting one of the best receivers in the league. It doesn't matter if he wants to play running back or not. When you look at the facts, they're right here. I'll read them to you. You know, Devontae Adams in his third season in the NFL, he played in 16 games, had 75 receptions for 997 yards and 12 touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. Tyreek Hill in his third season had 16 games, 87 receptions, 1,479 yards and 12 touchdowns with Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Deebo Samuel in his third season in the NFL played in 16 games, had 77 receptions for 1,405 yards and 6 touchdowns with Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance as his quarterback. Did I mention rushing yards at all? Nope. That's how Deebo stacks up against the best receivers in the game. And Deebo, his uniqueness as a running back, the only thing that does for him is diminish him and his own value and his success over time. It takes years off of his career. But when you look at the facts, as a true number one wide receiver, Deebo Samuel stacks up with the best in the league. So teams around the league should understand that he still provides them with number one proven wide receiver quality.
That really is the question here. And Dan, you look skeptical to me. Go.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that Deebo has proven to be just a flat-out number one wide receiver, because when he was used as just a number one wide receiver 2 years ago, he had 39 catches. He averaged 11 yards per catch. And then this year, he catapulted, and when it comes to his usage, you know, RG3, he led the league in yards after the catch when it comes to screenplays. You know, so again, that's a Kyle Shanahan thing. He's a really good player, but what makes him different makes him great. You know, and if he's going to sit there and say, no, I don't want to be used in the backfield ever, then that's going to kind of limit the amount that you can use him. I don't think that sitting here comparing him to Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill is fair, because none of those guys had the diversity within their package the way that came to formation usage and motion usage and screen usage. I'll ask you this, RG3. I'll ask you this. You were number two pick in the NFL draft. Why? Why were you the number two pick in the, or one of the reasons why?
Yeah, one of the reasons I was number two pick in the draft is because of my athleticism. But Deebo Samuel, his ability to move around the formation as a wide receiver doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do that. He's just saying he doesn't want to be in the backfield. And we don't even know if he's actually saying that, right? Mm-hmm. Those are reports, right. And he's come out and he's refuted every single one of them. But his value only diminishes to the 49ers if he doesn't want to play running back.
Go ahead, Danny. We'll come back to this, but let me get Darlington in quickly because I only have a minute left here. Jeff, what sense do we have that they are willing to trade him? Do we expect to see him moved between now and the end of the first round of the draft?
Well, first of all, Greeny, the 49ers are extremely reluctant to move him. They want to keep Deebo Samuel. This is not like when you have a marriage that just cannot be resolved where both sides are saying, we want to get divorced. This is Deebo Samuel essentially saying, I'm out. And the 49ers saying, but wait, come back to us. So I think that it's important to remember that. But at the same time, negotiations for Deebo have not even gotten to the point where they can sit here and say, like, well, you want to be a running back and a wide receiver. You want to be paid this. It hasn't even gotten to that point. And that's perhaps what makes this whole thing the most fascinating.
I need to come back to this. There's so many angles on this that we will get to, and it's not the only big football story. As we continue in a moment as well, will we finally see the end of the Baker Mayfield saga in Cleveland this week? Why one member of our crew says he could be the steal of the entire draft. It's an enormous story in the NFL, and we're getting back to it. Plus, the blame game in Brooklyn. Kyrie is blaming what? Did you hear what he said is the reason the Nets are where they are? If you haven't, you're not going to believe it. And you're going to hear it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
As we continue on Get Up, hey, Dan Orlovsky. So last night, umpire Angel Hernandez was calling everything a strike, and at some point, Kyle Schwarber just couldn't take it anymore. Look at him. He's getting thrown out, and he's getting his money's worth.
Greeny, where the heck? Can we get Jeff Passan on? And tell me why Angel Hernandez still gets to umpire games. You got to have a guy behind the plate that knows exactly the line where he can and cannot cross when it comes to balls. Schwarber's like, beep, 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 mother, beep, beep. I mean, this is, what's that, 3 inches outside the plate? Now, I mean, it's a pretty good pitch when it comes to what you want, but that's not a strike. We need passing.
And we do. We'll get something. We're going to figure this thing out for us. Meanwhile, as we continue, someone needs to figure out the Nets. They're on the brink of elimination. Wait till you hear Kyrie Irving's reason why. You're not going to believe it. It's next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Back on Get Up, Jay Will's actually here along with Legler and Windy, and we're looking at Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets yesterday, trying to avoid elimination, taking on Steph and the Warriors in Denver. Pick it up fourth quarter, just over 2 minutes remaining. It's Jokic, it's Aaron Gordon, fouled by Draymond Green. Say goodnight, Draymond. That's his sixth foul, and as he tends to, he's got plenty to say about it to the fans and everybody else. Gordon would make both free throws. Let's show you how this thing ends. Warriors down three. Steph Curry dancing, driving, and it's good. Plus the made free throw, so we're all tied. Next, Warriors possession, same score. Steph, that's a long two. Warriors a two-point lead. Ensuing Nuggets possession just over a minute ago. The Joker decided he wasn't going home yet. It's up, it's good, we're tied. Ensuing Golden State possession. Jay, will you just know Klay Thompson's going to make this one from the corner?
Oh, wide open, got the right look. Oh, and the putback missed.
Andrew Wiggins. I don't know what Wiggins is doing there, but one way or another, they get nothing out of it. Monte Morris would make a bucket, so the Warriors are down two, 33 seconds left. They're drawing up a play. And look, Jokic from the bench knows exactly what it's going to be, and they make the steal on the inbound.
I thought it was a great adjustment by Michael Malone going small so they can switch all the action.
That's Austin Rivers with a great defensive play. So now the Nuggets with the ball and a two-point lead. Get it to the Joker and count on him to make the right pass. And he does. Dagger three in the corner for Will Barton. And the Nuggets avoid the sweep. 126-121. Jokic had 37. Steph had 33 in the loss. Yesterday, the Warriors getting 30 from both Steph and Klay, but still losing the game. But that seems unlikely. It's because it was the first time in their 11 years as teammates that it happened. They had done so 13 previous times. It's the first time they ever lost. So we will talk more about them as we go. But let's talk about the Nets here. That's where the show began. They're down 3-0. It's been a disaster. They're tonight going to try and avoid the sweep at home. And here was Kyrie Irving on what has gone wrong for Brooklyn.
Being in a series like this with guys that we're all just trying to gel, and usually you're gelling around the right time, and that team in the other locker room is gelling at the right time. They've been gelling since Christmas. So for us, we're just in a new experience as a group, and we just got to respect that.
Oh my goodness. I wish you guys could have seen Jalen and Stephen A. when they heard that yesterday for the first time. Windy, Tim Legs, and obviously Jay, I'll let you. When you heard Kyrie say that, what was your reaction?
Three things very quickly. Number one, no excuses. You're giving me a lot of excuses. Number two, lack of awareness around Kyrie. That is something that internally you can say to your teammates, but externally you don't say that to the public. Because one of the reasons why you guys couldn't gel, and I stood by Kyrie for this, his decision about the vaccine, but the repercussions for that decision led to James Harden not wanting to play, and then Kevin Durant being hurt. And number three, just the lack of awareness around this entire team. Kyrie saying that, Ben Simmons with what he's wearing on the sideline, making everything about Ben Simmons, even the emoji he posts on IG, he usually does that, Greeny, when he's about to play, doing an interview, yes, easy to insert me into the lineup, all ultimately to not play. If I'm a teammate of his, I'm looking at him with a side eye, like, man, look, I can't trust you. You're not accountable. All this makes it such a cluster fill in the blank for the Nets.
No, it couldn't be more right. Let's deal in the Kyrie of it. To begin with, Legs, how about him saying that and his performance in this series?
Well, first of all, he's 100% accurate. I think if any of us could take a lesson, we should have taken it from last year with the Lakers. Like, so when you have a lot of talent, you can't just go through the regular season in a certain way. Okay, guys get hurt, I understand that, but guys take a little bit longer than they need to maybe to come back. You have a situation like this where Kyrie, by his choice, elects not to play over half the season. Okay, you have the situation with James Harden. Kevin Durant goes out for a while. When you have talent, you think, hey, as long as we're healthy, right? How many times have we heard that? How many times have we get caught in the trap of talking about these teams in the regular season saying, well, let's see if they're healthy, because we never know what that looks like. And then what happened to the Lakers last year? They got rolled by the Phoenix Suns. And now this team is getting rolled by a better team. Boston Celtics are better defensively. They've got two stars playing at a great level. Jason Tatum has arrived as a superstar in this league. They've got depth. They've got young legs. and they've got a tenacity about them. So if Kyrie's right, but I think we should just stop giving these teams credit during the regular season, the benefit of the doubt that it's all going to be okay if guys can just get healthy at April 15th. It just doesn't work that way.
That's exactly right. No, I mean, there's one idiot who even picked them to go all the way to the finals, and that idiot is me. But anyway, Wendy, so let's instruct this idiot on what exactly it is he got wrong. The Kyrie of it all. Because it could not have gone worse than it has gone. Where does it go from here, assuming it ends tonight the way we expect it to?
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly Kyrie is talented enough to lead the league in a lot of things, but he'll never lead the league in rational analysis. And you know what's remarkable is this team actually was gelled. They were 21-9 in mid-December, in first place in the East by 3 games. They were doing just fine. And that's when they made the decision to bring Kyrie back as a part-time player. And yes, they did get hit with COVID and Durant got a knee injury, but they were never the same as a chemistry standpoint. I was around this team a lot early in the season. They used to enjoy playing together. When Kyrie came back, a lot of that changed, especially with James Harden. And they are now dealing with that. And they are in the seventh seed because their third and fourth best players are hurt. They are in the seventh seed because Kevin Durant missed a chunk of the regular season. But they are down 3-0 in this series because they do not play well together, and their roster from 4 to 4 or 5 to like 10 or 11 is just frankly not that impressive. You put all of that together, you have a team heading to Cancun before the end of the month.
Now look, I don't want to start talking about their future because they do have a game tonight, but let's face it. If this team was going to put up a fight, they would have done it the other day. So they do have to make a decision on Kyrie Irving about extending him on into the future. Kevin Durant made a decision to leave Golden State. Look at that team. I know they lost yesterday, but look at the beauty with which they play. The Nets are 180 degrees away from that. If you're the Nets, are you hitching your wagon for the future to Kyrie Irving?
Well, you're doing it if Kevin Durant wants it done. At the end of the day, this can be Kevin Durant's decision.
Why?
Because that's who KD chose to play with.
And then watched KD in this series right now? Have you let him generally manage your team?
I understand what you're looking at right now.
Yeah.
But you also are thinking about if next year, if you're able to have Ben Simmons, if you're able to have Kyrie Irving, what that looks like on paper moving next year with a different roster, potentially personnel-wise, that could be a different situation. Again, like, I know we're captive in the moment now. I get it. It's a train wreck. It doesn't mean it's going to be the way next season.
Yeah, let's not conflate what Kevin Durant looks like in this series with Kevin Durant being cooked as a player. He's not. Right now, he is a guy that was not in rhythm, and he is facing a defense that is absolutely executing a plan. And they've got the personnel to do it. No team in the league has more guys individually you can switch on to Kevin Durant to kind of at least make his night somewhat miserable, much less two at a time, knowing that he doesn't have other options on the floor to bail him out. This isn't Kevin Durant, what he's going to look like going forward, to Jay's point. So my answer to your question is yes. And I think, if anything, like I just said, they will learn you need to prioritize the regular season in order to be able to finish it off the way you want to. They didn't do that this year, and this is what you get when you have that kind of a regular season.
Do you have any reason to have faith? Wendy, I'll come to you. Any reason to have faith that Kyrie Irving will suddenly decide basketball is his primary priority in life, that Ben Simmons will decide that basketball is his primary priority in life, and that Kevin Durant, who I've got NBA stars on these shows and an NBA countdown saying he's tapped out and he's quit and using words like that to describe an historically great player. It's unprecedented in my recollection, Wendy.
I'm going to judge people on their actions. Kyrie's actions have been Kyrie's actions. Ben Simmons' actions have been Ben Simmons' actions. The situation is, Kyrie Irving has tripled down on his partnership with Kyrie Irving. He chose them and Brooklyn over a lot of other better options or more impressive options, in my opinion. Then last summer, when he did not have to, he signed a 4-year contract extension, locking himself in. And then this season, when James Harden and Kyrie Irving got cross with each other and it was going down, he backed Irving and approved the trade of Harden. That partnership, no matter what has happened with the Nets for the last 3 years, that partnership perseveres, and it will persevere during contract negotiations. I don't see how the Nets don't give Kyrie Irving at least a 4-year max contract, because otherwise, what do you do? If you don't give him the contract and he walks, Durant will be shortly out the door. So they have to make it work next year. If they don't make it work next year, I don't even know what's going to happen.
And so what is the change then? What changes? I mean, you're changing the coach? Are we deciding that this is Steve Nash's fault now? To blame Steve Nash for what has happened to the Nets would be like blaming Kate Winslet for what happened to the Titanic, okay? She was there, but she had nothing to do with the fact that the boat sank. Steve Nash is just standing there watching this disaster.
No. Well, standing there, I mean, look, everybody has culpability. I think there's a lot of in-game adjustments that I think sometimes you look at it and say, all right, things could have been done a little bit different. It makes you appreciate guys like Steve Kerr or Eric Spoelstra, who have handled very hard personalities with championships on the line. But look, I think all these guys are going to be back next year. And I know people aren't going to like it, but like Wendy said and like I said, I don't think KD's choosing another superstar, and you will look to see what version of himself Ben Simmons will be next year.
Final word.
Yeah, to the point about Nash, think about this. The guy hasn't come close to coaching the team he expected to coach since the day he got there. Until when? Until, and even not now because you don't have Ben Simmons, but this is the first time he's really had both stars out there at the same time, and who do you get? You get the number one defensive team in the league with a superstar offensive player playing the best he's ever played. That's what you get. So, yeah, Steve Nash could do things differently. I don't think they've done a great job adjusting to what Kevin Durant is seeing. There's no question. Is that a fireable offense when you look at what he has coached for 2 years? No, I don't think that's the case either. And Kyrie Irving, you are going to give him a max offer because you always have to ask yourself, well, what are we going to replace him with that's better? That's always going to be the question. So he's going to get that. There's no question in my mind. And the Nets, we're going to come back next year, and you'll probably pick them to go to the finals.
No, I'm done with that. No, under no circumstances. They're going to make that bed, then they're going to wind up sleeping in it. In the meantime, did you see this from LeBron over the weekend? Posting a video of himself dancing like in a tropical paradise. That's what he is. Who's having more fun right now, LeBron or Kevin Durant? You tell me.
Oh, no. This dude's in agony. Do not mistaken him dancing with some Los Lobos and looking like he's having a good time. He's tweeting about every damn game on TV.
I know.
He's watching everything. And trust me, he wants to be in the playoffs next year. That's his entire mission.
Go ahead, put the tweet up. We'll show you the tweet. I mean, he's not making that up. He actually tweeted, while he is tweeting about all of the games, I cannot, will not miss the postseason again for my career. This hurts. Okay, back to watching these games. Wendy, you've known him since high school. What was your reaction to that tweet?
I know that LeBron James is an only child, and he will be the first to tell you that he likes to have the attention on him. And this is a guy who went to the finals 9 out of 12 years. He doesn't want to be at the beach in Mexico. That's not what he wants.
Unfortunately for LeBron, it's not table tennis. Okay, he's not out there by himself. So it's not all up to him. So for him to say that, guess what, LeBron? He's got to rely on other people. And he's got to rely on other people being healthy and showing up and who else he's playing with. So it's not just about LeBron. But I know how much this hurts him sitting at home, despite how much fun he's having. And he deserves, by the way, to have as much fun as he wants on a tropical island. Go ahead.
All right. I got to get Jay back on the radio. Thank you, my man. KJM on ESPN Radio. Coming up here with his NFL future in limbo, Baker says hello to Oklahoma again. Will he finally be saying goodbye to the Browns? Could he be the steal of the draft? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and after a tumultuous offseason for both Oklahoma and favorite son Baker Mayfield, the Sooners faithful showed up to welcome the new coach Brent Venables and to see the unveiling of Mayfield's statue in Oklahoma's Heisman Park. There he was, and there's the statue. Robert Griffin III, no one knows the Heisman better than you do. What'd you think of the statue?
Greeny. Oh my gosh, they dropped the ball. They missed the slam dunk like Andrew Wiggins yesterday. The statue should have been Baker with the flag plant against Ohio State. That was an iconic moment, and Oklahoma fans should riot. That statue, oh my gosh, they should riot.
Okay, yeah, I saw a lot of disappointment with the actual statue itself one way or another. That doesn't seem to me to be the most important piece of the Baker Mayfield news this week, as much as that does not look like him. Let me go to Orlovsky on this here, because you know, Dan, you've been reasonable. For all the Baker Mayfield, go ahead, Jeff.
Just doesn't. It looks like a 90-year-old man. That does not look like Baker Mayfield.
It looks like Baker Mayfield's grandfather in a statue.
Dude's got a statue.
Oh, my gosh.
But either way, Danny, you have been very reasonable in your assessment of Baker Mayfield on this show through all the criticism. So here we are. The draft is a few days away. How do you see the situation with him? Because it needs to be resolved at some point soon.
Yeah, I think it gets resolved this weekend, and I think Baker Mayfield walks away as the steal of the NFL draft. You know, Greeny, I think of two things. Number one, what would this conversation be like if Baker Mayfield did not get hurt? Or when he did get hurt, sit out, get the surgery, and not try to play through that injury as much as we appreciate and admire it? Because the reality is the vantage point. Are you looking at Baker Mayfield as a player from 2021 or 2020? Because the last time we saw him healthy in 2020, he was top 10 in QBR, and he led the Browns to the playoffs with a defense that was bottom 10 in the NFL. He threw for 27 touchdowns and 8 interceptions that year in 2020. So if teams are going to look at Baker Mayfield through the vantage point of 2021, that's on them, because he was playing with multiple injuries and a torn labrum in his left shoulder. But if you're looking at him through the lens of 2020 and you sit there in this draft and you want a quarterback, if you're the Falcons or if you're the Panthers or you're the Saints or you're the Seattle Seahawks and you want a quarterback and you get to that third or fourth round and the guy that you don't want is there, and you sit there and say, I'm going to trade a fourth round pick for a guy that 4 years ago was the number one pick of the draft, for a guy that 2 years ago led his team to the playoffs and was top 10 in the QBR, and you're going to trade a fourth round pick for him? I understand the finances are what they are. That's above my brain power. But Baker Mayfield has the opportunity to walk away as the steal of the NFL draft.
I think that's a very reasonable perspective. This is a guy whose entire career would be different if he hadn't tried to tough it out. It's like the anti-Ben Simmons, the opposite of the Ben Simmons conversation we're having, and he's being just ridiculed because RG3, does that make sense to you?
No, it makes sense. I actually think the steal of the draft will be Jamison Williams if he falls out of the top 10, but that's neither here nor there right now. Yeah. But the way the Browns mismanaged this Baker Mayfield situation is why they're at the mercy of all the other QB needy teams in the league. So when they go into the draft, these teams are going to try to find one of these rookies that they like, because the simple math about it is if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you get 4 years of cheap QB play, right? And then maybe 1 year with the fifth year option if you exercise that. But with Baker Mayfield, you're going to get 1 year at $18.8 million guaranteed. And if he plays great, you're going to have to pay him. So the Browns aren't in the driver's seat in this situation. They're up a creek without a paddle, and they're hoping that a team that needs a quarterback doesn't find one in the draft, because then maybe, just maybe, they will come calling for Baker's services.
So, Darlington, help me. As you talk to people around the league, what is the expectation of how this thing will play out? Because it has to happen soon.
Well, certainly, Greeny, the urgency is right now. This is the time to be thinking about trading Baker Mayfield, and we can look toward a year ago for the blueprint of how that could happen. Teddy Bridgewater was traded on Wednesday before the draft, literally what would be this coming Wednesday. He was traded from the Carolina Panthers to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos had Drew Locke. They wanted to bring Bridgewater in to create that competition. He ultimately won the starting job. Contractually speaking, though, this is what happened there. The Carolina Panthers were on the hook for $10 million in guaranteed salary that year. The Broncos said, all right, we'll take $4 million of it. You pay the rest of it. We'll give you a six-round pick, very low draft compensation. That's precisely what could happen. Great. Maybe a little bit different in the numbers because Baker Mayfield is owed $19 million this coming year. But that's the kind of deal that we're looking for. The Browns are going to have to understand they have no other options other than what I'm laying out to you when it comes to Teddy Bridgewater. Now they just need to find the suitor to pull the trigger on that trade.
And so, Danny, I mean, I'll circle all the way back to your thought. I mean, the quarterbacks in this year's draft are not very highly thought of, generally speaking, and some of them might turn out to be terrific players, Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett, not trying to diminish any of that. But the truth is, if Baker Mayfield was in this draft, he'd be the first quarterback taken easily, right, Dan? Yeah. And so at the end of the day, the money is the money, but that is the reality of the play.
And we're talking $19 million for a guy that has proven to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He may not be a guy that we deem as a top 10 player, and you're going to win a lot of games because of $19 million for a guy that 2 years ago was top 10 in the NFL when it came to QBR, for a guy that 4 years ago took a team that was 0-16 and broke the rookie passing touchdown record. $19 million. And to RG3's point, yes, you are living in a world where what happens if you trade for him and he plays really well and you got to pay him a lot of money? God bless, because that's what every team kind of chases in the NFL, is to find a quarterback that you are comfortable paying some certain amount of money for. I think Jeff's point of Teddy Bridgewater is perfect. I mean, you mean to tell me that if you are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and it's going to cost you a sixth-round pick to go trade for Baker Mayfield and start to have a plan after Tom Brady doesn't make a ton of sense? Or if you're the Seattle Seahawks or the Carolina Panthers or the Atlanta Falcons or the New Orleans Saints? I mean, I could rattle off a ton of teams that it makes too much sense for them not to do it.
I agree with that, which is why I think RG3 has it right. If the Browns weren't in the position they are in right now, hadn't put themselves in that position, they would already have been able to figure out a trade here. There are teams that want him, but they know that they have to give him away before it's all said and done. RG3, right. Awesome. Thank you. We are just getting rolling here. We got a huge hour coming your way. I can't even catch up as we continue. KD and the struggling Nets on the brink of elimination. Ben Simmons isn't coming back after all. Did you hear Stephen A. go off on this? If you didn't, you will next.